Come on, let's give God a hand clap of praise. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, that's the best you can do. Why don't you give God a hallelujah wave? Why don't you high five your neighbor and say, neighbor, let's just holler to the Lord one time. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated in the presence of our God. I'm going to ask now that every head would be bowed. God, again, we thank you for being who you are. More than anything, God, we thank you for your darling son, Jesus. But God, then too, we thank you for your precious Holy Spirit. For God, we thank you altogether for just being God and being God all by yourself. For when we woke up this morning, God, we had no doubt in our mind that it was you that touched us all with a thing of love. Realizing, oh God, that you didn't have to do it, but tonight we're thankful that you did. God, you have put food on our table and clothes upon our back. Have given us all tonight, God, a reasonable portion of health and strength. And for that, God, we say thank you. For God, our prayer now is that you sit me back down and let the Holy Ghost stand and move in this place. Pray, God, now that you would hide me now again behind that old rugged cross. Allow my soul to remain on fire. For God, not my will, but your will be done. So come now, God, and continue to move in this place. That the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, my mind, my body, and soul be acceptable unto you and you only, God, whom I daily claim to be my King, my Prince, and my living Redeemer. What is in your name, we do pray. And together as one family, we say amen, amen, and amen. First, amen. Give God another praise. Hallelujah. First, giving honor to God again, who is the head and God of my life, to him who has been the landlord and keeper of my love and a distributor of all of my blessings and the manufacturer of all of my joy. If my mother was here, y'all already know what she would say. Boy, stop trying to be handsome. Amen. He hasn't been nothing but a bridge over troubled waters, a shelter in a time of storm. Lord knows our company keeper and our mind regulator. And as Jude would say, to him who is able to keep us from falling, our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. And I don't know about you, but I am a young man. But as the elders would say, he has allowed our golden days to roll on just a little while longer. To the teacher, to the preacher, to the pastor, to the priest, to the pope, to the bishop, to the archangel of this house. Can we make some noise for Pastor Leroy Mitchell? Come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on, come on. Celebrate. While you got it, can we make some noise for our leading lady, the first lady of this house? More than anything, we're thankful for them, and we're thankful for the hospitality for the last 3 days that they have shown to this young preacher. Amen. And we're thankful for the opportunity to have come by this way again, just for God to allow even not just so much for me to share in ministry with you, but each day your pastor has taught me like a father to a son. Amen. And just not just so much about life, church, but life lessons. Amen. I'm one of those type of guys that I love to hear the stories of life lessons. Amen. Because the truth of the matter is, if I could save somebody at least from two headaches, I know I have done my job. Amen. And so at the end of the day, we thank God. And your pastor, you already should know that he is a gentle giant. Amen. Amen. But I promise y'all don't want to get him mad. Can I get a witness out there? Amen. I already told you y'all already know he carries two guns on him at all times. Amen. And at the end of the day, we're thankful for this opportunity. And as my mother always taught me, and as I'm learning now, even for myself, when someone has been nice to you, the least you could do is say thank you. Amen. The least you can do. And so I thank you all more than anything. I thank Pastor Mitchell for his hospitality and his love and support on this week. Amen. And when God speaks, I promise I'm not going to be long on tonight. Amen. But I did share this week with Pastor Mitchell the last time I came and shared. God poured so much into me. Amen. I'm reminded of that last day I was here. And I really do believe in God, amen, and how he moves. And sometimes he has to bring you out of your comfort zone, amen, take you away. And that third day, that last day I was here at last time, amen, that was the day his grandson was born, amen, on the same day as me, amen, September the 12th. I will never forget. But not only did his daughter, amen, give birth, God allowed birth to happen in me, amen. And we was able to go and share with our congregation how God had spoke and how God had showed me some things. And one thing for sure, this is no First Baptist blessing, but this is a kingdom blessing. That day God spoke to me, if people want to be blessed, they got to be willing to do three things. And I asked God, I said, what was those three things? He said, 2014 is a year of kingdom living and kingdom building. If you want to be blessed, you got to do three things. Number one, you got to be willing to be obedient to God. Come on, have I got a witness? I see some of y'all, I'm preaching already, really. But the truth of the matter is, one, you have to be obedient to God. But not only must you be obedient to God, you also must, secondly, be obedient to your man or your woman of God. Come on, church, help me if you will. Because the truth of the matter is, they are the one that prays for you daily. They are the ones that pray for you daily. Amen. And so the truth of the matter is, they speak life to us day in and day out. Amen. And we're thankful. But third and final, he says, not only must you be obedient to God, not only must you be obedient to your man or woman of God, but third and final, you have to be willing to be obedient to yourself. Some people say, well, what does that mean? What does that mean? Here it is. Listen, if you know you're supposed to pay that house note, that rent on the first, it's no need for you to go and turn up. Come on, can I get a witness? You better pay that house note and that rent. Amen. Listen, if you're going to be obedient to yourself, you got to be willing. You got to be willing. If you're supposed to be to work at 8 and you get there at 8:30, you can't get mad because they give you a pink slip and give you a dismissal slip. Listen, get there at 7:55. Amen. And so when everybody else is getting pink slips, you can keep your job. Can I get a witness? But you got to be willing to do those three things. Amen. And if you do those three things, see and watch what God would do. Amen. And so, again, we're thankful. And I come this way, amen, as we so often say, when God speaks, amen, God spoke to me this evening to share just a seed of appreciation and love to Pastor Mitchell, amen, for again, because that's what God say do, amen. Come on, give God a praise, amen, just something small, amen. Something to take First Lady out, amen, they can at least get them a sandwich, amen. Not a sandwich, but a sandwich, amen. But when God says do what I say do, that's when you better do it, amen. And we're thankful, amen, how God has spoke. Listen, I promise I'm not going to be before you long, I promise. But in Mark chapter 2, the gospel according to Mark, ushers, if it's your desire, you may take your seats, amen. Mark chapter number 2, amen. Mark chapter number 2. Mark chapter number 2, I promise you, I'm not going to be before you long, amen, but there is a word from the Lord, amen, and if you will, if you would meet me at verse number 1. Amen. Mark chapter 2, if you will, if it's the custom of this house, amen. Let us all stand for the reading and reverence of God's word. Amen, that we may all be on one accord. I'm reading from the King James Version on tonight, but I promise you it all reads the same. Mark's Gospel, chapter 2, at verse 1, it declares, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house." You may be seated in the presence of our God. I won't talk tonight from a sermon entitled, "Why We Make Noise in Church." Why we make noise in church. Let me just open up by saying, in the first chapter of Mark, the writer moves swiftly into the life of Jesus. And he gives us a panoramic view of the beginning of Jesus' ministry. In eight verses, he introduced John the Baptist, and he launched immediately into the life of the Master. Here it is. In the very first chapter of Mark, we see Jesus baptized. We see Jesus in the wilderness being tempted. We see the calling of Peter and Andrew, James and John. We see Jesus casting out demons. We see Jesus healing Peter's mother-in-law. We see Jesus on a preaching tour throughout Galilee. And we see Jesus healing a leopard. Oh, I'm trying to tell you all, the power of Jesus. Listen, the power of Jesus is being paraded before our eyes. For Mark in his gospel wishes to prove without a doubt that Jesus was and is the Messiah. In chapter 2, we see Jesus in Capernaum now. Listen, and in the first verse, it says he was in the house. Listen, this verse declares the reality of Jesus or his isness. Listen, we are taught, beloved, in school to conjugate the verb to be and the conjunction gold. I am, you are, he, she, and it is. Listen, give me a moment. I'm coming on your pew. When we say that Jesus is in the house, we declare him in third person singular and say he is. Listen, all believers must believe his reality or his isness. All right, I'm coming. The scripture says that he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Saying that Jesus is in the house is to declare his presence. It acknowledges his being here. He's not only, or let me say it like this. He not only is, he not only exists, but he is with us right now. Jesus is not some distance away, but listen, we are in his company and in his presence tonight. Therefore, we can talk about a with us God. Jesus is in the house, and relative to time, again, he's here right now. Look, Jesus' presence, let me just say this, causes things to happen. Things cannot remain the same when Jesus is in the house. Look at your neighbor and say, "I know that's right." Listen, the biblical record shows us, listen, has it that when Jesus is in the house, blind eyes are made to see. Deaf ears are unstopped. Listen, Lord, help me if you will. Hungry stomachs are filled. The people that are in mortal danger are delivered to safety. Further, when Jesus is in the house, it solicits a response from those who are there with him and from those who he's with. Come on, help me if you will. In this instance, his presence is in Capernaum, and it was responded to by noise. The scripture says it was noise that Jesus was in the house. The noise was simply the people praising over his being there. Listen, let me just say it right off the bat. If Jesus is in the house, I don't care what nobody say, true believers are going to praise him. Do I got any believers in this house? Can we take one small commercial break right there? Do I got any believers that are willing to praise him? Don't wait for the preacher. Don't need the musician. but you got enough sense in your mind that when praises go up, do I got any believers that know that he's worthy tonight to be praised? Don't y'all look at me funny, but do I got any witnesses and believers that knows that, listen, God inhabits the praises of his people, that when praises go up, you want to high five somebody that's near you and say, I know without a shadow of a doubt, blessings will come down. All right, here it is. Listen, my brothers and sisters, if you're going to understand tonight's episode of, listen, the reason why we make noise in church, the first thing I want you to see and understand is the reason why we make noise in church is because we have seen the evidence of Jesus's presence in our lives. All right, y'all help me tonight. Listen, a thing is not proven by debate, but by demonstration. Therefore, to prove something, there must be some evidence. If Jesus is in your life, there ought to be some evidence to that effect. Listen, or should I say some demonstration as to that effect. Listen, here it is. In the court system, many cases have been thrown out of court for the lack of evidence. In many of our lives, there is a lack of evidence that Jesus is present in your life. There is not enough evidence in many of our lives to convict us to be Christians. For beloved, walk into many, not nobody here, but walk into many of our churches, there is a lack of evidence that Jesus is even in that house. Come on, help me if you will. For there is no noise that's being made. No praise is going on. They dead as a doorknob. There is nothing happening in these churches. Come on, help me if you will. There is nothing happening to give evidence as a presence of an almighty God. People praise God for the blessings that they have received and recognize them of having come from the hands of the man upstairs. Many people acknowledge luck as just being luck, or should I say a source of blessings. They claim I was lucky, but here it is. However, there is no luck in God's universe. We live a purpose-driven, listen, we live in a purpose-driven world. We serve a purpose-oriented God. And if God said it, that settles it. You want to look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I can't help that, favor ain't fair. But when God says it is, that means I'm out. Come on, help me if you will. You can do, I got any witnesses that's not ashamed to say, I know he's evident in my life because he woke me up this morning, started me on my way, gave me a reasonable portion. Come on, you want to high five somebody and say, stop sitting there and acting like God ain't in your life. Have I got one witness? Bible teaches us, you got to understand, we praise him only when we recognize that all that we are and all that we shall be and all that we have comes from the Lord. The Bible teaches us that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and the world and they that dwell therein. When we realize the food on our table, the car we drive, the house we live in, the job we have, come on, help me if you will, it all came from the Lord. Come on, sit up there and act like everything you got it on your own. Let me bust a bubble. You ain't all of that. If it had not been for the Lord putting his hands, wrapping his loving hands around you. Oh, come on, help me if you will. Let me just flip the script. If God was to take his hands off of me, Lord, have mercy, Jesus. But thank you, Jesus, for the evidence that you have. Listen, you got to understand, I realize the more I praise him, the more I like him because, listen, you ought to tell somebody, praise is what I do. You ought to tell somebody, yes, praise is what I do. I love to praise him. I need to praise him. All I did was to come to tell y'all these three nights, I came to encourage somebody. Whatever you do, don't stop testifying. Don't stop dancing. Don't stop witnessing. Don't stop praising him. For even Jesus said, If y'all don't praise me, then the rocks will cry out. And I don't know about y'all, but I got enough praise down on the inside that I can tell these rocks around me, I don't need no rocks crying. The Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Let the men praise him. Let the women praise him. Let the children praise him. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. I understand. Said I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I couldn't keep it to myself. He's brought me from a mighty long ways. Can we take another commercial break? I'm telling you, praise is listen, praise increase your joy. That's why them old folks would say, I feel the joy bells ringing in my soul. Somebody ought to say, listen, I didn't come into these four consecrated walls. The Bible says you ought to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Do I got any witnesses that know that the Lord is good and his mercy endured forever? Listen, if you're going to understand tonight's episode of the reason why we make noise in church, number one, you got to see and understand that there must be evidence of Jesus being present in your life. But secondly, I need you to see and understand the reason why we make noise in church is because there is excitement over his presence being in your life. Look at your neighbor and say it should be some excitement. It should. Listen, Jesus was in the house and there was excitement over his being there. Happy is the people who God is the Lord. The psalmist says, in thy presence, there is a fullness of joy. You got to understand, one of the fruits of the spirit is joy. And where there is joy, listen, where there is joy, there will be rejoicing. For true joy must find expression. Help me if you will. The songwriter said, I won't tell nobody, but I couldn't keep it to myself. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it. Look at your neighbor and say, and you didn't give it neither, with your mean self. Listen, joy finds expression through vocal, proclamation. Joy finds expression through hand clapping. Joy finds expression through foot stomping. We can't praise God silently. The text says it was noise that he was in the house. We are charged by the psalmist, yes, to make a joyful noise all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praises. Here it is. For Dr. Stephen Thornton says it like this. There is no noiseless praise. Praise is an audible, invisible excitement of the being in the presence of the Lord. Here it is. A few years ago, there was a commercial some years ago advertising a laundry dish detergent called Shout. Listen, its slogan about dirt, listen, in your clothes was what? To shout it out. In the presence of Jesus, we are overcome. We are overcome with feelings and emotions that we cannot deal with. But if we learn how to praise him, we can shout him out. When Jesus came into Jerusalem, he descended to the Mount of Olives. Listen, and the multitude of the disciples rejoiced and praised God with a loud voice. All I'm simply trying to tell you all is listen, when you come into his house and Jesus is there, you should get excited. You should learn how to shout some stuff out. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, shout the depression out. Shout the, shout the misery out. Shout the hell out. Shout, come on, help me if you will. Shout being broke out. Shout it out. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, whatever you do, shout it out. Shout the attitude out. Shout your deliverance out. Shout your healing out. Shout cancer out your body. Shout high blood pressure out your body. High five your neighbor and say, neighbor, learn how to shout it out. Shout it out. Shout it out. High five with your neighbor and say, neighbor, whatever you do, shout the mess out. Shout it out. Because you are in his presence and he knows how to handle it all. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, whatever you do, learn how to shout it out. Shout it out. Listen, the noise in the house, check this out. It was so great that listen, the text continues to teach us that the Pharisees approached Jesus and said to him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. In other words, they wished for Jesus to make the disciples be quiet. However, Jesus said to them, and he's telling somebody tonight, if I tell them to shut up and hold their peace, then these stones would immediately cry out. Can't you see the people saying, it doesn't take all of that. You should not get perturbed with me if I make a little bit more noise. You should look down your row and say, neighbor, excuse me, but I owe God this one. For God, come on, have I got, I don't know who this is for, but you better learn how to start praising him all because of who. Come on, help me if you will. You better stop waiting on pastor to help you praise him. You should have enough praise for yourself. Do I got any excited people? I know you're going through hell and high water, but listen, set it aside. Get excited for Jesus. Has he made a way out of no way? Has he opened doors? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, what he's done for others, I know he can do it for me. If he did it for them, he can do it for me. Listen, what I'm trying to tell you, it says they were so excited, and you can't get mad because people want to praise them. Come on, oh Lord, you can't get mad because people come into this church week after week wanting to praise God. You don't understand, God may have brought them a little further along than he has brought you. God may have healed them from a greater sickness than he has healed you. Listen, I can't help but to make noise in church. Praise is truly the excitement of Jesus being present in our lives. Because when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for little bitty old me, when I think about what he's done, I get joy. I get happy as I look back over my life and see all the hell and high water my God has brought me through. I can't do nothing but be excited. I can't, come on, help me if you will. Y'all quiet over here. Let me see if I can get a witness over here. Do I got any witnesses over here that's excited because you didn't look back on your yesteryears and you see you ain't all of that. You know you want all of that. You done smoked some stuff, drunk some stuff. God done delivered you from some stuff. You the one that should have been in jail. You the one that should have been in trouble. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, that's the reason why I make noise. That's the reason why I shout. That's the reason why I run. That's the reason why I wave my hands. Because I'm excited where he has brought me from. Here it is. I'm done. Told y'all. If you're going to make noise in church, there should be some evidence that he's present in your life. But not only should it be some evidence, you should be, listen, there should be some excitement that he's present in your life. But third and final, last but not least, if you're going to understand tonight's episode, why we make noise in church, first thing, it should be some evidence. Once you realize that evidence has come, it should be some excitement. I need you to see and understand. Not only should it be some evidence, not only should it be some excitement, but there should be some enrichment because of his presence in your life. Here it is. One of the greatest drawbacks to productivity in America is an unhappy worker. Listen. Folks who are happy with their job are far more productive than disgruntled, attitude-y, just, what you mad for? I mean, how, listen, how you wake up full of the devil? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, can I ask you a question? Let me, come on, don't be afraid to look at it. Say, neighbor. How do the person sitting beside me wake up full of the devil? I don't. Yeah. How you? Come on, I mean, talk to them. Come on, come on. Y'all been talking all day. Talk to them. Say, how they wake up full of hell? I don't understand. One of the greatest hindrances to the church is an unhappy Christian. Listen, these are people, nobody here. I'm thinking about my church. I've been there 6 years now. Nobody here. Listen. These are people who have not yet learned to praise God for his blessings. I said it on Tuesday night. Some people in church do not realize nor understand how blessed they really are. You think because you don't have a Cadillac or $500 in your pocket that you ain't blessed. The mere fact that you got pennies and a couple of nickels to rub together, you should be thankful. Come on, have I got a witness? You might not have a house on a hill, but at least you got a roof over your head, clothes on. Come on, help me if you will. You might not be wearing stilettos. You might not be wearing a gaiters. You might not be wearing a three-piece suit, but at least what you got is clean, is pressed. Oh, come on, help me if you will. You got to understand. Listen, these are people, again, who have not yet learned to praise God for his blessings, but complain often about every single thing. Christians who lie are enriched by praise are far more easier to work with in the church than those who cannot openly praise God. You have heard it, and listen, you probably have even said it yourself. I didn't feel like coming to church tonight. I didn't feel like coming to church this morning. But for some strange reason, since you've been sitting in here, something about the praise enriched. Oh, come on, help me if you will. Something about the presence of Jesus. Seeing the other people lift their hands, seeing the other people witness with the choir, seeing the other people witness with the preacher, something about that moment, it enriched your life. Come on, listen, the fellowship with those of kindred minds and like-minded spirit to us is enriched because of the experience that has just taken place. Have you ever been to a football game or a basketball game? You were quiet on the onset, but as people begin with the momentum of the movement that was about to happen, forgetting where they were, they started standing, they started yelling, they started screaming to the top of their voice. Why? Because you was enriched because of the experience that you was in. Listen, you gotta understand, I'm getting ready to ride now, but the experience of being in the midst of those fans, you were thrilled. Come on, you started having a desire. You started doing a chop. You started dancing. Lord, if your team scored, come on, you got crazy. We need to stop being so tight and tied down in church. I come to tell you, every Sunday morning should be like Super Bowl Sunday. Come on, help me if you will. Every Sunday morning, do I got any Cowboy fans in the house? Do I got any? Come on, help me if you will. Every Sunday morning, y'all should be looking towards the star. Come on, help. Do I got any Redskin fans in the house? Every Sunday Sunday morning, y'all should be waving y'all hands, doing the Indian chop. Come on. Do I got any witnesses in this house that's just enriched? You so tired of seeing people come to church. They so sedity and half-alluded, so stiff, so pissed. Come on, so prissy and prime. Come on, they can't even listen. Tell the neighbor, say, learn how to praise God. When blessings start moving, oh Lord, help me, Jesus. Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto him. The songwriter said, lift him up until he speaks from eternity. Do I got any witnesses in this household tonight that's been enriched by the movement? I'm happy tonight. I get joy when I see you praise God. I get lifted when I see you praise God. I get happy when I see you lift your hands. I get joy when I see you stomp your feet. I get joy when I see you lift your hands. Somebody say, lift him up. Yeah. High five your neighbor and say, neighbor, the reason why we make noise in church is because he's still calming the storm. He's still healing bodies. He's Alpha and Omega. The reason why we make noise in church is because he's a friend that stick it closer. There's not a friend like the lonely Jesus. Ask your neighbor, why do you make noise in church? Neighbor, the reason why I make noise is because trouble don't last always. Weeping may endure for a night, but this joy that I have, the world didn't give it. Look back at your neighbor and say, neighbor, why do you make noise in church? It's because amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. Ask me why I make noise in church. I'm so glad y'all asked. I got 10 reasons why I make noise in church. Reason number 10 and 9, it's because he woke me up this morning. Reason number 8 and 7, it's because he woke me up this morning. Reason number 6 and 5, it's because he woke me up this morning. Reason number 4 and 3, it's because he woke me up this morning. But my number one reason why I'm making noise in church, it's because he woke me up this morning. Yeah! Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, help me make some noise. Help me make noise so the drug boys can hear it. Help me make noise so the prostitute can hear it. Help me make noise so the sinner man can hear it. Help me make noise so the sinner woman can hear it. I came to Jesus just as I was. I was weary. I was wounded. I was sad. But I found in him a sweet resting place. That's why I make noise. Is he taking care of anybody? Is he taking care of your mama? Is he taking care of daddy? Is he taking care of your kids? If he's doing all of that, open up your mouth. Shout hallelujah. Say thank you, Jesus. Yeah! Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, help me make some noise. Let's lift Jesus higher. Won't he make a way out of no way? Won't he open doors? See y'all later. after a while, by and by. But if I don't ever see y'all again, we will meet again somewhere in glory. I'll be around the throne. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Has he been good? 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 Make some noise. Yeah! Yeah! Has he been good? Has he made ways? Has he opened doors? Get excited! Yeah! Yeah! Standing all over this building, standing, standing. Listen. When Jesus is in the house, there should be some evidence. When Jesus is in the house, text says it was noise that he was in the house. Should be some evidence. Because his presence is in the atmosphere. When you feel the presence of God and his presence touch your evidence, then there should be some excitement. You know, it used to be a time in church, you know, when you was younger, you didn't understand what was going on. You'd be laughing at old folks when they get to dancing and shouting. But it was always one somebody that say, eventually one day. I was one of those ones. But I get excited. There's a sense of excitement that comes upon me when I see the evidence. You ever met people that they said they were dead? And they, not only did they march back in the church, but they ran back in the church. Why? Because the evidence turned into a level of excitement. When God has truly touched your life, there should be excitement that takes place. But then, when all the evidence has been laid on the table, all the excitement has happened, we should leave this place with a sense of enrichment, filled up, looking like you done been to church. Looking like we serve a great God. You know, acting like. So many times we leave church. And I'm going to say this word. You know, I'm from Petersburg by way of New Orleans. But we leave church worse than we came. You know what I'm saying? You know, but look around. All of us got a story that God done something for us. And so many times, you know, I believe that when we make noise, we get excited and we are enriched. Sense of enrichment comes about and we show evidence. I believe God
We get God's attention. Huh? There's somebody this week got God's attention. Because of your faithfulness. Because of your obedience. You showed evidence that God's been good. You showed a level of excitement. And just because, listen, everybody got their own sense or got their own way of praise. Some people run. Some people jump. Some people, they cry. That don't mean you're better than them because you flipping, cartwheeling, and speaking in an unknown tongue and things of that nature. But just be thankful that they're doing what they can to get God's attention. There's some, my whole, God said this week, just go and encourage. Y'all keep on holding on. You know, don't throw in a towel. Can you imagine on some of the things that, you know, you went through in the past, if you would have thrown in the towel, you wouldn't be here tonight. But you know what you did? You said, I'm going to get on up. I'm going to go again. I'm going to go hear what Pastor Mitchell got to say tonight. And that particular night, Bible study, leadership training workshop, he spoke to your life Sunday morning. You fussed all the way to church. He didn't even know what you were saying. But once he gave a benediction, all week long, Lord, Pastor Mitchell preached. He preached. Lord, have mercy. But you say you won't gonna come. I'm telling you, God is an awesome God. And maybe there's somebody here tonight. This last night, you know, if you're not saved, come on, come. Come on, come. Come on, come. If you're looking for a church home, come on, come. I heard Pastor Mitchell say this week, and I say the same thing with my church. If it's not this church, let us know where you want to go. We got numbers. We can send you where you want to go. Want to come and rededicate your life back to Christ? It's nothing wrong with being sure. It's nothing wrong with being sure. You'd rather be sure than sorry. All right? But fourth and final, last but not least, I said all that to get to this one thing. Prayer changes things. And we dare not close out this week without an urgent sense of prayer. If you desire prayer tonight, we would ask that you would meet us at this altar tonight. If it's not you, then you got a mama, you got a daddy, a brother, a sister, a family member, a relative, a friend, a co-worker. I double dare you to even pray for your enemy. You know, young people, you got report cards coming soon, and you know you can't pass with a D. You hoping that D would not close up and at least be a C. You better come on, pray about it. I'm telling you, God knows how to erase things. God knows how to show compassion. You know, more than anything, again, know wherever you are, I want you to know that God is able to reach you. You know, try Him. Something we do each week at our church, and I've really been doing it all last year, and it really didn't strike home to me until I left here in September. Something we've just been praying about. We try our best to do to read the Bible and understand it to the best of our ability. But it didn't make sense till I got home last year that Friday when I woke up and God really registered into me. You know, all year long in revivals and on Sunday morning, we was telling people to grab your neighbor's hand. Job 42 and 10. It declares when Job prayed for his friend, Job stopped worrying about him, prayed for his friends. And the Bible says that's when God then, long story short, turned Job's situation around. Blessed him, as the old preacher would say, blessed him double for his trouble. When I got home last year and that Friday morning when I woke up and I said 42 and 10, I don't understand 42 and 10. You know, it was 2013 and 42 and 10, and when God finally spoke, he said, unravel the numbers and tell me what you're going to get. And I said, 2014 is a year, listen, of restoration. Look at Job. It's a year of restoring. Look at Job. Job 42 and 10. It's a year of rededication. And God wants the same thing for you all. He wants to restore some broken hearts. He wants to restore some relationship. He wants to restore money back. Come on now. He wants to rededicate his commitment to you as you rededicate your commitment to him. So listen, right where you are, I'm going to ask that you do this. Let's take 2 minutes. Take those hands that you're holding and pray for those hands that you're holding. So what you don't know them on tonight, with every head bowed and with every eye closed, so what you don't know them on tonight, you may even know them, but take 2 minutes and pray for those hands that you're holding. So what? You don't know what they're going through right now. God knows, and that's all that matters. God tonight purposely put you in this place. Put you right where you are to pray for that person hand that you're holding. He knows all things. And God needed you to be where you are tonight. He purposely put you where you are tonight to pray for that hand that you're holding. Come on, pray for strongly. Pray strongly. Pray strongly for that hand that you're holding. Pray favor in their life. Pray restoration. Pray that God will restore their bodies back, their relationship. Pray that God will rekindle the fire. Pray healing. Pray for that hand. Somebody needs that God be a doctor prayer that you're praying right now. Somebody needs that God be a way being made prayer right now. Somebody needs that God be a door that's about to open prayer right now. Come on, take this last minute and pray like never before. Somebody want to be healed. Somebody want to be delivered. And your prayer tonight is lining up with the will and ways and works of God. Come on, don't take for granted. Believe the prayer that you're praying. Come on, they need your prayer. Come on, take this last 30 seconds and pray to heaven that God will shower down blessings from above. Come on, take this last 10 seconds and pray like never before. Come on, pray like never before. Pray that God will show up and show out. Pray that God will show himself. Pray that God will show himself. Come on, pray this last 5 seconds. Come on. Come on, pray that God has already done it. Pray that God already done it. God, tonight, under the sound of my voice, I pray that every breathing being in this place on tonight that will be blessed. I pray that every
living creature will be blessed. I pray, God, tonight that you will send your angels from heaven now and snatch every prayer that has been lifted. I pray, God, now that every angel will come and put that prayer request at your feet. And I pray, God, that every single prayer that was prayed tonight, that you would be God in every single situation. Yes, somebody needs you to be a doctor. Somebody needs you to be a lawyer. Somebody needs you to be a credit score. Somebody needs you to be a healer. Somebody needs you to be a deliverer. God, tonight I'm just praying that you would heal, hear every single prayer that's been lifted unto you tonight. I pray, God, tonight that somebody has shown evidence that if you did it before, you can do it again. I pray, God, tonight that a sense of excitement has not only caught man and woman's attention, but it has caught your attention. But God, as we leave this place, as we leave this revival, I pray, God, this week somebody has been in, there has been a sense of enrichment that people will not walk with their heads down, but walk with their heads up. Knowing that God is our hope of glory. Knowing that God is still sitting high. Still looking low. God, I pray now. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I thank you in advance for sending that cancer into remission. Hallelujah. I don't know who that was for. But thank you in advance for sending that cancer in remission. Hallelujah, God. Thank you for holding back that heart attack. Thank you for holding back that stroke, God. Thank you for shielding that woman from breast cancer. Thank you for regulating that sugar, God. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you for keeping that mother who struggles daily maybe to get out the bed. And thank you for giving her the activity of her limbs in spite of using a walker. Thank you for the walker, God, that mama can guide herself, won't fall and hit her head. Thank you for grandpa's energy. Continue to be with daddy. God, do what you do best. Pray, God, now that you would bless the leader of this house. Continue, oh God, to keep his joy up. Keep his level of urgency for the kingdom high. Keep him encouraged. Keep building upon the ministry that you have given him to serve your people. Continue to favor him spiritually, mentally, physically, financially, and health-wise. Continue to favor his wife. Continue to favor her. Continue to keep him, keep her, God. She continue to aid her husband. Keep his family, God. Continue, oh God, to allow his cup to overflow. Because God, as his cups overflow, everybody that's under him, God, their cups are gonna be filled. Keep his body from any sickness.
Keep him alert, oh God. Keep him, God, as he travel to do your will. God, do what you do best for Greater Brookfield. Do what you do best. Every neighboring church, let us do our part. For God, we thank you. We love you. And we count it all joy. For it is in your name we do pray. It's in your name we do pray. And together as one family with a loud, noisy voice, we say amen, amen, and amen. Listen, hug at least three people and let them know it's already done. It's already done.